Title of our lesson today is God's Promise Renewed, and our devotional and background study comes from Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as hitherto. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make hitherto, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." For the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily task, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today, as hitherto?" Would there be any announcements before we go to our class?
Our reading lesson comes from the 6th chapter and begins at the 1st verse. But between last week and this week, it's kind of gone over a lot of events that have happened, and I'm not going to go over everything, but I need to back up just a little bit before I read from the 6th chapter. So I'm going to go back to the 5th chapter in the Bible, and let me go back to the 4th chapter real quick. And the 4th chapter and the 21st verse, we find that the Lord has instructed Moses on everything that he is supposed to do. And the thought that came to my mind once Moses and Aaron had come back together again and were going to be going into Egypt to try and bring the children of Israel out, the interesting point that I think was made in one of the discussions in our Sunday school book is that they had to travel from wherever they were to Midian into Goshen, which was the part of Egypt that they lived in. And so they traveled there by foot or by horse or however they went, and just wondered what all they talked about in the time that it took them to get from one place to the other, which was probably several days, several weeks, could have been a few months, depending on where they were located at. But they had all this time to gather in information and decide how they were going to do to get the people out of Egypt. And I thought that was a very important aspect that Moses and Aaron had spent all this time together. And I know, they talked about this. I mean, this was the main point of them going. So that every day that they discussed all of what they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to do it. And the Lord was giving them guidance, and he was giving them information that they would need. And in the fourth chapter and the 21st verse, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go." Now, so we find that everything that Moses did is already in the works. It's already pre-planned. Moses knows what he's going to have to do. He knows, I think really he knows, that just him going in to ask Pharaoh to let his people go was not going to work, because God had showed him everything that was going to have to be done. So he knew that going in. So let's not forget that when Moses went in and told Pharaoh to let my people go, I don't believe he really felt that Pharaoh was going to let his people go. And so that's kind of why I think that he told Pharaoh kind of I don't know if you want to call it a lie, but I think that may be what has made him say what he did to Pharaoh. You know, in the fifth chapter, now back in the fifth chapter, we find Moses standing before Pharaoh, and this is what he told him. He said, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh." This is the first verse. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Now, that's not exactly what God had said. So I'm just thinking that Moses here is trying to come up with an excuse that if he don't go in and tell Pharaoh, we're leaving and we're never coming back, he'll go in and say, let us go out 3 days. He did. Well, yes, he did. You're exactly right. And so I think Moses was trying to soften the blow that millions of people were fixing to leave Egypt, and all their slaves that they had used for all these hundreds of years was about to walk off and leave them on their own. So he said, "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And listen to what Pharaoh said. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Now, you have to understand that the Pharaoh of Egypt was in himself considered to be a god. And even he himself considered him to be a god. And so when Moses walked in and said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh said, "I don't know who this person is, or who this God, who your Lord is, or who your God is. And I'm on top of that. I'm not going to let you go." So this statement that came from Pharaoh sets the stage for all the events that are about to take place. He has drawn a line in the sand. He has said, "I don't know who the Lord is. Who's to say, why should I obey him when I myself am a god? Why should I obey your God?" He says, "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Now, the gauntlet has been thrown down, and Pharaoh has said, "I will not let your people go because I don't know your God." And as I was reading this, I'm going to kind of drift off to the side here a little bit. As I was reading this, a thought came to my mind that Pharaoh's statement right here is exactly the way people are today. There's no difference between Pharaoh's train of thought and the way people's train of thoughts are today. Because I want you to know that the God I have, very few people know him in the world today. Very few people know who God is. Not my God. They know of a God, but very few people know my God. And that goes for most of the people here in Davidson County and most of the people here in Middle Tennessee and in Tennessee and in the United States. Very few people know my God. And they will never admit it, but they're just like Pharaoh. You know, I don't know. Because if I went and told them that my God saved my soul when I repented at the age of 7 years old and I'm going to heaven, most people in this town today do not know that God. And they don't hearken to his voice. They don't hearken to his words. They don't hearken to his deeds. They look at him however they want to look at him, however it might suit their life or even their lifestyle. So when Pharaoh said, "Who is thy God?" most of the people in this town, if they were really honest with themselves, would have to ask me that same question. Who is your God? Because the God that they serve, or they would say the God I serve, says you only have to be baptized to be saved. But that's not the God I serve. And the God they serve says to them that you have to come up and shake the preacher's hand and sign your name on the church roll. That's not the God I serve. So, you see, Pharaoh's idea of not knowing who God is no different from most of the people in the world. They don't know who God is. They don't know who he is. They don't have any idea about what he can do. So, I thought about that as I was reading this, that how so alike is our world today as compared to the people the way they've always been. There's no difference in people. There's always a remnant of God's people around as there were here. But there's this other broad spectrum of people who do not know God the way that we know him. And you know, the difference is, if you'll go over into the 16th chapter of Matthew. 16th chapter of Matthew, and this was Jesus. And Jesus was with his disciples. And in the 16th chapter of Matthew, in the 13th verse, it says, Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And this is Jesus. He said unto them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter recognized who Jesus was from the spiritual insight that he had of God and how God works in this world. And that's the difference that separates God's people from those outside who don't know God, is the spiritual insight that we carry. And that's what separated Moses from Pharaoh, was the lack of spiritual insight that Pharaoh had. It would appear that the Bible says he hardened his own heart as time went on, and that was for none other, that had no other effect other than to show the power of God and exactly what God was going to do to get his people out. Now, in the sixth chapter, which is our reading lesson, this is what God said to Moses. Then the Lord said unto Moses, wait a minute, I left out a part here. And Terry read this, and I don't know if y'all connected this. after the first meeting that Moses had with Pharaoh, Pharaoh sent out orders to his captains who were over the slaves. He said, take away their straw. See, the Egyptians were providing them straw to make brick so that they could build these huge buildings that they were building for the Egyptians. And after Moses came and said, let our people go out here, Pharaoh looked at Moses and Aaron and said, y'all need to get back to work. I don't know who y'all are or what you're trying to do, but you need to get back to work. Then he sent out a decree that said, take away their straw, let them gather their own stuff. And he also told them that the amount of bricks that they were to make a day was not to be decreased. Now before, evidently, the Egyptians were supplying the straw and the Israelites were making the brick. Now he said, we will no longer supply the straw. You've got to get your own straw, but you've got to keep up making the number of bricks that you're making. So then they had to go out and all they could find was stubble because the straw had already been cut and all they could use was stubble, so they were bringing back. They weren't getting as much straw, it wasn't as good, but they still had to maintain. So it became more onerous on them after Moses went to talk to Pharaoh. And then the Israelites, they got all concerned. They went into Pharaoh and begged him to not do this, and he told them to go back, that they had their orders to do. And so now we come that the people have almost turned against Moses, and they don't know what to do. They're afraid, they're scared, because they're being punished, and they're working harder than ever now. Now that Moses has come to take them out of Egypt, their work is increased. In the sixth chapter of the first verse, I'm finally getting to this. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. It's almost like, all right, Pharaoh has pushed me to the limit, and now you're going to see something. You're going to see what I'm about to do. And the people are going to see. More important than for Moses to see, it was that the people were going to see what was going to happen here. So that they would see the miracles and see the things that God was going to wrought. Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land. Now that strong hand, I think, is not the Pharaoh's strong hand. That's God's strong hand. And God is fixing to start a series of events that is going to convince Pharaoh finally to let those people go. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Now, he's already told Moses who he was. He's already explained all this. And you can't tell me that Moses doesn't know who God is. He knows who he is, but he's fallen kind of, maybe not by the wayside, but he's kind of weakened down a little bit. He's become a little wary of what's going on here. He's not in good contact with God. You know, we get like that sometimes. We get discouraged. That's a good word. Moses was discouraged because of all that had happened to the people, and he was discouraged. And God looked upon this and saw that he was discouraged. And Moses was feeling bad because the people were having to work hard. Look, I've come to get these people out of here. God, you've told me to come get these people out of here. Now look what I've done. I've gone in and I've talked to Pharaoh. You said go and talk to Pharaoh. I went in and talked to Pharaoh. Now these people are having to work harder than ever. And their cries are getting louder. And their pain is getting much stronger. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I'm gonna sort of quit there, because Terry, he's got to have some left over for his other half next Sunday. But you see, though we may get discouraged at times, though we may think God is not hearing our prayers, and though we think that he may be far away from us, he is there looking down. And I read something yesterday that when God's people hurt, our Lord hurts with us, because it's not what he wants us to be, and it's not he doesn't want us to be in pain. He wants us to be, I think, a happy people, people that look to him for help. And when we get discouraged, and when we get downtrodden, and when we think that no one is near, he always is. And you can see the examples of that in the scriptures, and you can even see examples of that in your own lives, that God is always there with his people. He always has been there with his people, and he always will be there with his people. Now, I grant you, he had to remind Moses, and then Moses, in turn, had to remind the people. There was a lot of reminding going on there. But God said, I am the Lord. In other words, I am that I am. I am God Almighty, and I am God Jehovah, and by all these names will you know me. One name is a name of strength. One name is a name of deeds. And we know that both those names conform to God, because he is our strength and he is our helping when we are in dire need of his help in our lives. And, you know, we find ourselves in that way, you know, maybe on a daily basis, where we need to be reminded that God is in his heaven, he's on his throne, and he's looking down at his people. Now, that's us. Now, you know, people will say that he's looking down maybe on this country, and maybe he is. But I have to believe that the only reason that he might be looking down upon this country and carrying us on his shoulder, as it seems to be doing at this point in time, is because of us. Because his people, this is where his people are located. There's not a lot of us, but there's several people, I believe, here in this country who are carrying on in a manner that God is pleased with. And it's those people that he's looking down on, and he's helping, and he's given us strength, and he's given us a place where we can come and worship. He's given us a country that we can come, that we can live in, and have freedom of religion and freedom of speech, and we should not be worried about anything else other than what God can give us as far as being his people. And we should thank him every day for what he has done for us. Now, I think we can thank him for what he's done for the country. I think we can ask that he watch after our country and keep us safe and keep us on the path of righteousness. But it just looks like every day we're off doing something that I know that God is not pleased with. But we're still his people. We're still here in this country. Just like these people were in slavery and bondage to these Egyptians, God looked down upon not the Egyptians. He looked down upon his people. And he heard their cries, and he heard their moanings, and he heard their pain. And he said, it's time. Come out. And he looks upon us the same way. He sees our moanings, or he hears our moanings. He sees our pain. And he knows when we're hurting, and he knows what we stand in need of. And if we will just bow down to him and offer our lives to him, I think and I believe with all my heart, he will come upon the scene and help us in any way that he would see fit that would give us a better life. So let's remember that in all things, God is with us. No matter how distant he may seem, he is always there with us. And I think the closer that we stand to him, the closer he will stand to us. And that distance will be shrunk. And we can just go to him and ask for help. And he will hear our prayers, and he will deliver us out of the land of Egypt, just as he did the Israelites all those many years ago. Does anyone have anything they'd like to add to this or say or comment on? If not, it's good to have everybody here this morning. Let's remember Brother Maggard in a worship service that God will be with him and give him that to say.
I have something to say. You talk about God answering prayers, and in the bulletin it says something about if he answers right away, your faith is brought up. If you don't, your patience. And so I keep thinking, why does he expect us to have patience? But we're supposed to. I guess that's kind of a test of our faith. But I'm sure everybody here knows I am bipolar, and I am an advocate for the bipolar illness. This has been a very bad week for me, in the bipolar depression. And I have been real scared, too. I thought, okay, well, something's happened. You forgot your medication. I checked that. I did. I thought, you need to go to the doctor. No, you can't do that. I don't want to do it. So yesterday, it was like I was praying, God, take it away. Just take it away. And then sleeping has been like 3 hours. And I said, just let me go back to sleep. Well, it didn't happen. Well, I wasn't real happy because I wanted it to be immediate. Take this away from me right now and let me go sleep right now. It didn't happen. But by last night, it was beginning to go away. And I had one of the best nights sleep last night that I've had in a long time. I really slept good. I had a dumb dream, but at least I was sleeping. And this morning, I'm fine. He's taken it away. It's gone. And he added something that really made me feel good. Brother Mayer came over this morning and gave me a hug. He always just shakes hands with me. But he walked over and he put his arm around me and said, I'm going to give you a hug this morning. I think that was from the Lord, saying, I heard you. And he'll never know how much better that made me feel. And so God answered my prayer, and he gave me some answer.
Yep.
And that's where the patience comes in. He had plans. You know, maybe he just wanted me to sit on the couch and crochet and get my star, Christmas star stuff, and I don't know. But he answered it. But he did it in his time. Plus, he gave me the bonus.
We are often impatient. I know I am. And that's one hard thing to overcome. It's our impatience. That is a tough thing to overcome. Is impatience. And, you know, God knows what we're going to be doing 5 minutes from now. He knows what we're going to be doing 5 minutes from now. He's asking us to be patient for that next 5 minutes. Sometimes that's even hard to do. But we need to wait upon God. When we wait on God to do His will, we're doing His will.
Well, I learned that too. Really did.
But, you know, when you pray a prayer for somebody, you want to see it answered then. I mean, most of us really do. You want to see You want to see whatever that event is happen right now. Well, that's one of the hardest things to do. And my tendency is to keep praying, the same prayer over and over, even though you know God has said He'll take care of it. Now, why do I keep praying and asking for the same prayer when I feel that God has said, I'll take care of it? Why not? It's time for me to move on to something else, because God is going to take care of this. But my impatience is so strong that in the next time I bow before God, I'm asking for the same thing, even though I feel that God has told me it's going to be all right. That's my impatience coming out. I haven't seen results yet, and I want to see results now. Right? I mean, I think we're all like that. I think we want to see results now.
I think it's just after the
natural part. I think so. And you know, I pray God understands that, that it's part of our human nature to be that way. But God works everything in His own time.
But you gotta be careful, you know, what they say, you pray for patience. Be careful if you pray for patience. I never did that. Maybe I should, but I don't know. But I might want to.
Well, I don't think we'll ever get that, though. I don't think we can. I mean, God may.
I think it can get bad. I think your patience, maybe as you get, I don't know if it's older or what, you know, but we'll never be,
I think
it can get better. But I think it's by faith, you know, if you have more patience, you increase your patience, your faith, it works together.
Yeah, but I can ask God to increase my faith, and I can feel that He's asking my prayer. And tomorrow, I'm back in the same shape. You know, I'm still asking this very same prayer again. Now, yesterday I was feeling just fine. He had answered it, and I felt real good. Now, tomorrow, I'm back asking again for the very same thing. And, you know, we are just a people, and our nature is.
We still have that little doubt. Lord, I know you're going to.
No, you said it. You're going to take care of it, I know, but when is that going to be?
So we still have that little doubt.
Yeah. I need to see something now.
The Bible says take the Lord with you.
Yes.
But that's exactly right, Don. I mean, but you know why He said that? Because He knows how we are. We know He knows that we can't just leave it there, you know. And we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be like our Lord and Savior. I don't have any thought that I'm ever going to be like that.
That's our best to be perfect.
So, anyway, anybody else? Jimmy, would you dismiss us, please?
You want to see the results.